Last week, I told you about Rhys Werkhoven and his amazing discovery of over 40,000 US dollars cash inside an old chair he'd purchased. You probably remember his story, but in case you missed it, let me just remind you of the basic facts. Rhys Werkhoven is a poor student at University of New York, and he needed a new chair for his flat. He didn't have a lot of money. He couldn't afford to buy a new chair. But when he was offered an old, ugly, smelly chair for just 75 Ghana cedis, Rhys jumped at the offer. But to his surprise, when he got the chair home, he discovered that he'd purchased more than a piece of furniture. For you see, hidden inside the cushions of the chair was 40,000 US dollars in cash. When Rhys bought the chair, he obtained all the cash inside as well. It was his lucky day. But what I didn't tell you was what happened next. Would you like to hear the rest of the story? Rhys and his friends were overjoyed when they discovered the money and realized that sudden wealth had fallen into their laps. Yet when the shouting and the laughing had died down, Rhys sat down and thought about the situation. Someone had hidden that money in the chair, and obviously the original owner had kept the cash thinking it would be safe there. Rhys didn't know how the chair had come to be sold, but he imagined that the owner of the cash was probably panicking. Maybe the owner needed that money. Maybe someone was suffering right then over the loss of such a huge sum. So Rhys decided to try to find the original owner of the chair and the cash and return the cash to him. Well, Rhys and his friends searched through the chair thoroughly and came up with an old envelope on which had been written a name. He went to the telephone directory and searched for the name, and lo and behold, there was a match for a woman living in his very city. Rhys called the woman, and when he did, he uncovered a story that touched his heart. You see, the original owner of the chair was a woman who was 91 years of age. She told Rhys she had stored the cash in that chair over a many-year period of time, hoping that the money would provide for her in her old age. But recently, she'd fallen sick and had been sent to the hospital. While she was in the hospital, her son had come and decided to clean up her house. Not realizing there was cash hidden in the chair, he'd gotten rid of it and sold it to Rhys. And when the old woman was discharged from the hospital and came home to find out that her chair and her cash were missing, she was devastated. How could she survive the rest of her days? When Rhys heard her story, he didn't hesitate to take action. He did something that few people would actually do. He returned the entire sum to the old woman. Rhys could have kept the money for himself, but he chose to give it back. Some may call that foolish. Some may say what he did was extravagant. But Rhys Werkhoven knew something that most of us need to learn. It's a simple lesson that Jesus taught. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That's why I want to challenge you this morning to make the same decision that Rhys Werkhoven made, the decision to enter the extravagant zone. I want to show you how you can climb even higher on the prosperity ladder and the amazing results you will get when you do. But before we go on, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you for your abundant grace, which is enough for us. When we were lost, you found us. When we were sinners, you died for us. When we were stained with guilt and sin, you came and washed us with your own blood, given freely, given lavishly, given generously, that we might be saved. And then you poured out your Spirit upon us, O Lord, and upon your people, that we might be filled with your power. And you've given us abundant promises that are beyond our comprehension. Lord, when we consider all that you've done, our hearts are amazed. Lord, I pray today you'll help us not just to be recipients of your abundance, but Lord, that you will challenge us to become just like Jesus, generous, open-handed, open-hearted. I pray that the lessons that you taught us about money and prosperity will ring deep in our hearts, that you lift the veil of deception from our eyes, that you will come and give us clarity, that we will understand your mathematics and your economic principles, O Lord, that we will understand your design for our finances, and through that, we will have the grace and the courage to obey you. I submit this people to you today in the name of Jesus. I bind every spirit that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us in the name of Jesus. I bind every voice of covetousness or greed or the love of money, and I loose the Spirit of the living God to fall upon us, to speak to us today and illuminate our hearts with your truth, that your name would be glorified, that we will be transformed, and that the world will be blessed through us. We thank you now by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I want to invite you to pray with me. Just take a moment, put your hands on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. Manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Agape House New Testament Church. I'm glad that you're here on this very special Sunday. You see, this is the day when we celebrate the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the church. It's called Pentecost, and it's the anniversary of when the New Testament church was born. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 2 that the disciples, including the mother of Jesus, Mary, were gathered together in the upper room when suddenly Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit upon them. There was an overflow of power, there was an abundance of miracles, and there was a lavish and generous display of God's presence on the day of Pentecost. And the good news for us is I believe this great outpouring is still taking place today. God is still filling his people. He's such a generous God, such a lavish and abundant God, such a good God that he's gracious to us and gives us freely all the power we could ever need. And as we celebrate and rejoice in his extravagance today and in his abundance gift, we should not only be here to receive his gifts, but we should also commit ourselves anew and afresh to pass on his gifts to others. You see, the truth is, God didn't give us his power just to keep it to ourselves. God didn't give us his son just so that we could be saved while others perish. God didn't bless us with grace just for our sakes. Everything that God has invested in your life has given to bless you and to make you a blessing to the world. He gave us Jesus so we could bring Jesus to the world. He gave us power so we could impact and change our world. He gave us grace and forgiveness so we could extend that grace and forgiveness to others. And every blessing comes from God for you to enjoy and to share with others. In fact, the more we give, the more God gives to us. The more we become channels and conduits and vessels of his blessing, the more room God creates in us as a bigger, bigger pipeline of his blessing. That's why Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when you understand that principle, you can begin to enter the extravagant zone. You can become like God, extravagant, generous, and abundantly blessed. That's our message for this morning as we come to the end of our sermon series called The Prosperity Ladder. We've reached the final rung of our climb up the ladder, and the final rung is this. The final level of the ladder of prosperity is to enter the extravagant zone. It's to begin to experience the supernatural power of God's blessings flowing to us and in us and through us. So let's take some time this morning to discover three steps to enter the extravagant zone. And to help us learn the truth, we printed sermon notes. They look like this. They're inside your bulletin, and I want to invite you to take them out right now and follow along with me as we discover three steps to enter the extravagant zone. And there at the top of your notes and on the screen behind me, you'll find our scripture text for today found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 12. Now, this is a little bit of a long passage, but I want us to all read it out loud together because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So let's read it out loud. Read it like you mean it. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1, go. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Let's take that part again. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. I love this passage of scripture. It's filled with so many amazing promises. And you know, in all honesty, you could build your entire life on these seven verses and the abundant promises God gives to you in them. And in these, we see three steps to entering the extravagant zone. And here's the first step today. It's willingness. So just take your pen and fill in the blank at the top of page one with the word willingness and say that together with me. Willingness. Let's go back to our scripture text for a moment and remember one of the verses that talks about willingness. It's this: each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And see, the fact is, friends, the first step to entering the extravagant zone and being generous is willingness. You have to be willing to give. For the fact is, generosity is a choice. It's not a command. It's something that God leaves up to you and to your decision. The truth is, God doesn't want a stingy, old, sourpuss giver who holds tightly to the money in their pocket and drops a few coins with a sour squeeze face every time they give. The Bible says God loves a cheerful, happy, willing, voluntary, eager giver. That's the kind of giver he will bless. Not someone who gives out of pressure or compulsion, but who gives because they want to give. And in fact, that's how God gives to us. Because he loves us, he doesn't begrudge us. He gives us the sun and the air and the moon and the stars. He put us on this green earth with our life and our health. And he does that willingly and cheerfully because he's a loving and a good God. If you believe it, say amen. And that's how we should give also. That's why I have a problem with some so-called men of God and so-called churches and the way they take offerings. And I use the word take because it's like the pastor has his hand in your pocket. They take about 10 offerings every week, and they use a lot of manipulation. Some pastors use threats. The pastor will say, "There was a woman in my church. I had a revelation. She should give me $10,000. I said, 'Woman, you should give me $10,000. She refused. That night, she left the meeting and was struck by a car. She died on the spot. You too will be struck by a car if you don't give me $10,000. Nonsense. I'd like to strike that guy with my car. No, don't say it. Take that off the tape. I didn't say that. Some prophets use bribery. "Hey, I had a vision. Oh, I saw you. I saw your handwriting check, $5,000. Then I saw your hand with your passport at U.S. Embassy. They were stamping visa, visa, visa. I see it." Nonsense. The only thing that prophet saw was your money lining his pocket. Hello. Oh, have I offended you? Some use begging. "You know, I'm a man of God. I'm living by faith. Oh, I can't pay my children's school fees. I beg, I beg." If you're a man of God living by faith, then don't beg your members. Nonsense. Tell your neighbor, nonsense. Pastors today are using manipulation and trickery. It might work for them, but it doesn't work for you, because God is not impressed when you give because you were threatened or begged or bribed. God is only happy when you give because you love him and you want to bless him, and your glory is in him and him alone. Somebody say amen. That's the problem with some of you here at Agape House. Because I refuse to manipulate you, some of you don't give. You think, "Well, he's not threatening me or bribing me, so he doesn't need the money." Nonsense. Some of you think it would be better to go and pay your tithes to some prophet somewhere who sees all kinds of vision for you. But we need the money and we need the help. But I'm determined not to manipulate you, not to play games with you, not to trick you or bribe you or threaten you. I'm simply telling you what God's word says, that if you give, you will be blessed. And he wants you to enter the extravagant zone because he is good and we ought to be grateful to him. But the fact is, my friend, when you climb the prosperity ladder, The first three rungs of the ladder are obligatory. They're compulsory. The first step on the ladder is to have God's view of money. And the Bible says we must think what God thinks and see as he sees. The second step on the ladder is that we must begin to give. And that's a command from God. Give and it will be given to you. The third rung on the ladder is that we must pay our tithe. God commands us to pay the tithe. But when you come to the fourth rung of the ladder, when you enter the extravagant zone, it's not a command. It's a choice. Paying your tithe is obligatory, but generosity is your decision. And when you think about it, that's good news for all of us because it means any one of us can enter the extravagant zone. It's open to everybody and to anyone who chooses. And here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. Any one of us here can be generous. No matter who you are, no matter how much you have or how little you have, no matter what's in your pocket or your pocketbook or your bank account, you can choose to be generous. Whether you have a lot or a little, it's your choice. For the fact is, generosity is not based on ability, it's based on willingness. So just take your pen and fill in the blank with the word ability, because generosity doesn't depend on what you have. It depends on a heart that is willing to give. Let me put this into a practical explanation. A few years back, the Charities Aid Foundation organized themselves and hired the Gallup organization to do a survey on generosity. The Charities Aid Foundation wanted to know who was the most generous nation in the world. And so they hired the Gallup organization, which is one of the most respected polling companies in the world. They surveyed thousands of people in all the countries of Africa, and they used three criteria to determine who in Africa was the most generous. These were the three criteria. They asked people if during the last month they gave money to a church or charity. Number two, whether they had volunteered to serve. And number three, whether they had helped a stranger. So they went through Ghana, Nigeria, South Africa, all the nations of Africa, and asked people, did you give? Did you volunteer? Did you help a stranger? And the surprising results were that it was not the wealthiest nations who were the most generous. Neither was it the poorest nations who were the least generous. Wealth had nothing to do with generosity, it had everything to do with willingness. Do you want to know how Ghana fared? Well, here's the facts. 22% of all Ghanaians gave money to a church or charity last month, which means 78% of Ghanaians did nothing for nobody. Oh, Ghana. 31% of all Ghanaians volunteered to serve others last month, which means 69% did nothing for nobody. Oh, Ghana. We did better on this. 57% of all Ghanaians helped a stranger last month, which still means 43% did nothing to help nobody, nowhere, no time, no how. Debbie. You say, oh, well, that's because Ghana is a poor country. We are hippic. We are poor. That's not true. The World Bank ranks Ghana as a lower middle income country, not a poor country. In fact, the GDP per capita in Ghana is about $3,800 per person per year GDP. So we're not all that poor. We're richer than most African countries, yet we ranked 11th in generosity. You may say, how is that possible? Because generosity is not based on ability, but on willingness. Do you want to know who was the most generous nation in Africa? The surprising truth? Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone? Are you from Sierra Leone? God bless you. Freetown. Freetown forever. All right. You know, this is a country that passed through a horrible war where people were maimed and killed. This is a country that is poorer than Ghana. They have less than half the GDP per capita of Ghana, 1,344. Yet they are more generous than we are. Full 50% of Sierra Leoneans helped someone or gave something to someone last month because generosity is not based on ability, it's based on willingness. The number two most generous country in Africa, Guinea. Guinea! Guinea's a poor country. Their per capita GDP is 1,082, less than one-third of Ghana, yet 44% of all Guineans gave money or helped someone last month. In fact, Ghana ranks 11th in Africa, and of the 10 nations more generous than us, 9 of them are poorer than us. Malawi, one of the poorest nations in Africa, more generous than Ghana. Nigeria. Yes, Nigeria is more generous than Ghana. You talk about them and criticize them. They're doing better than you. May God help us. Sudan. Aren't they always fighting? They're more generous than us. Somalia. Isn't that where they're always starving? They're more generous than us. Liberia. Hey! Where half the country was homeless because of the war, yet they're more generous than Ghana. Not because they are able, because they're willing. Generosity is not based on ability, it's based on willingness. That's why Jesus taught us in the true story of the widow and her two coins. In Mark chapter 12, 41 to 44, the Bible says, Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow, Jesus knew she was poor. A poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, brah, 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 I tell you the truth. No, he didn't say brah, I take that back. I tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. Turn your notes over to page 2 and say after me, she gave more than the rest. She gave more than the rest because generosity is not a dollar amount, it's a willingness to share. Generosity is not based on the amount you give, but the amount you have left over after you gave. And in God's economy, the heart of the giver is more important than the amount on the check. In fact, even in our church, there are people who have less financial resources who give more than some of you driving brand new Range Rovers and you put a few coins in the offering. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. Do you still love me? Two small coins given joyfully and cheerfully with love and devotion is more than millions and millions given begrudgingly or for show or out of bribery or reward. See, when you choose to give generously, it raises you to the next level on the prosperity ladder. Listen to the promise God gives in Deuteronomy 15:10. Give generously to the poor and do so without a grudging heart. Everybody say that with me. Do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, because of what? Because you gave without a grudging heart, because you gave willingly, because you chose to give. When you do that, then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. God's blessing comes to those who are willing, who open their hearts and hands and say, I'm going to cheerfully give. When you choose to give generously, it opens up the promises of God. And that brings us to the second step. You have to have faith to enter the extravagant zone. So just take your pen and fill in the blank with the word faith, because there are promises God has given you. There are truths in His Word that if you can just reach out and lay hold upon today with faith, they're going to begin to come true in your life. Listen to our scripture text again from 2 Corinthians 9. God is able, somebody say able, to bless you abundantly, somebody say abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And listen, friend, if we really believe this promise, if we really believe God's word, we would all enter the extravagant zone today, because God's word said He's able. He has the ability and the power and the wherewithal and the resources to bless you abundantly. Not a little bit, not to get by, but abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound. God says there's never going to be a day you will lack. There will never be a need that goes unmet. And not only will I meet your needs, I'm going to increase you and cause you to abound. And if we would put our faith in God's word today, it would come pass in our lives. For the fact is, you can't escape it. God's promises are real. They will chase you down and they will catch you and tackle you to shower the blessings of God upon your life. He's going to pour out upon you and pursue you so that you will have abundance in all things, at all times, in everything you need for every good work. And you need to believe today. You need to have faith that God will bless you. So if you've got faith, lift your hands and shout amen. Amen. For the word of God is clear, not only in this place but in others. Listen to the promises. Luke 19:26. to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. Psalm 58:11, there truly is a reward for those who live for God. Surely there is a God who judges justly here on earth. And some of you may be thinking in your mind, well, I know when I get to heaven, I'll have a reward. But Psalm says he's also rewarding here on the earth. Proverbs 22:9 says, the generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Psalms 112:5 says, good will come to those who are generous and lend freely. We don't have time today to go over every promise of prosperity, but there are so many promises that God has given to you that if you simply put your faith and believe that God will bless you, you would run and run with speed to give an extravagant and generous offering today. Somebody say amen.
Worship. Hear life-changing sermons by Pastor Whitcomb.
And the Bible says all the people saw it and they lifted their hands and says, Jehovah, he's the Lord. Jehovah is the Lord. Jehovah is the Lord.
Enjoy a truly friendly experience. Join us at Agape House in East Lagon every weekend. A warm welcome awaits you. Agape House New Testament Church, Agape Land, East Lagon. Saturday night church from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. First Sunday service from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Second Sunday service, 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m.
Join us next week at this time on this station for another episode of Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb. Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb was brought to you by Revelation Media Ministry.